Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. It's been a couple weeks since we talked. I think the last time we had Chief on before you, and I was on vacation, so here we are talking again. Some good news we've had. By the way, no major incidents, right? Like in 2 weeks, no major incidents. I'll take it.
No, it's been very calm, and I hope I'm not jinxing myself.
Hey, I know law enforcement officers are a little skittish about that, but it's okay.
Yeah.
We have body armor for one of the canines, Dart.
Yeah, and I tell you what, we've gotten a lot of stuff donated to us as of late. Several body armors for canines and different things, and also a lot of donations to our Star Foundation. So, you know, it makes us feel really good that the public supports us so much.
No, it's a good thing. And, you know, as you say, when it comes from, it doesn't have to come from taxpayers. Somebody else is willing to do it. That's, you know, my mind, that's always the best, right?
It's
a small thing, but I did want to give credit. I don't know who your social media team is, but the photo of the sheriff's, the jail, basically, that you guys oversee, the Santa Rosa County Detention Facility, with the rainbow over top. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, we get a lot of storms up in Milton for some reason, and yeah, every once in a while we get lucky.
Yeah, that was a great picture. Bit of a, you know, like, oh, I don't really think about that, but all right, I like it. There's no pot of gold at the end of this rainbow, though, just to be sure. Nobody's, like, breaking into the jail to get the money. You had a couple of things happen educationally. One was you guys did the internet safety for parents instructional. Yeah. Is that going to be online? Is there a video version of that that people are going to be able to watch in their homes?
Not yet, but we are working on it.
Okay.
So hopefully in the very near future there will be, because, you know, yeah, the parents and the biggest issue we have is we have so many parents out there who have like a 13-year-old kid with a cell phone, and they say, you know, well, I don't want to invade their privacy. That's their phone. And it's like, no, it's your phone. You paid for it, and you can look at it anytime, or they won't give me the code.
Well, they don't need to have that phone.
Step up and be a parent. Yeah, step right up and be a parent. You take the phone, say, you get it back when you give me the code.
You know,
pretty simple.
Yeah, I think I might have mentioned this to Randy when we had him on, but, like, I think what would be really useful is a video not only for the parents to watch, but one that is designed for parents with kids to watch so that the kids can see the dangers and so that they can have a common understanding and like, they can really become informed together about what the issues are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good idea. I agree 100%.
Scam alerts, people are always, well, they're always predating, right? But this one, the ones you guys are kind of informed about lately are the ones where people call pretending to be you guys, right?
Yeah, and I tell everybody, you know, ad nauseum, that we're never going to call you and tell you you have a warrant and you need to send us money. Normally, if you have a warrant, we want to surprise you with it. We're not going to give you heads up, hey, so you can leave the county. We're not going to call you. We're not going to do any of that. So if you get a phone call from somebody pretending to be a deputy sheriff and they say, you know, turn yourself in, or you can send money to this, it's a scam. You don't even need to call us with it. It's a scam. Trust me.
That might be, I didn't laugh on purpose because I wanted the audio clip to be preserved for David when he's going to use it later, but that explanation is my favorite I think I have ever heard. We're not going to call you to warn you. There's a warrant for you. We want that to be a surprise.
Exactly.
That's hilarious.
Exactly.
I love that. I don't know if you've heard about this, or maybe even you guys use it. I mean, I don't know. But I read a story about Immigrations and Customs Enforcement is either ordering or on the verge of ordering these shock gloves that are like something less than a taser, but they're meant to deliver, you know, a contact, almost like a bee sting sort of pain to people if they're trying to, you know, put hands on and put them in the car or move them along. They're not being compliant. And they said, apparently this is being used in some detention facilities. Do you know anything about this? Do you guys use those?
No, we use tasers, but I tell you what, that's actually a pretty good idea because not a lot of people know this, but 90%, I think, was the last statistic I heard of people injured by getting tased is when they fall to the ground after being tased. So gloves make good sense. On the ones you could use them on, obviously, if a guy has a knife, you're not going to go up to him with gloves and try to tase him. But for some people you're just fighting with that are non-compliant, you shoot them with the taser and they fall and hit their head on concrete, you know, and gloves would make a great substitution for that. You know, just latch onto them and take them to the ground would make it a lot safer.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it seems like there'd be practicality issues. I can get it in a jail because you're not bringing a gun to that fight, right? You're trying to control inmates typically. And so I can get it. It seems like just the practicality of, you know, like, hold on while I put my gloves on, you know, kind of like there might not be a lot of opportunity for it. A taser, drawn tase, a gun, drawn shoot, obviously. But I was just curious if you knew anything. But interesting note. I didn't know that about the taser, that those are the injuries. So it's actually it's a kindness. It's a form of, you know, safer policing.
Yeah, it's safer for the suspect, for sure.
Right. Now, Sheriff, I don't know if you heard me talking about it, but this morning I've been talking a lot about flock cameras, and I have generally been supportive of the license plate readers because I see the value. They solve crimes, they solve car thefts, they solve kidnappings, they solve murders. I mean, I see the law enforcement value. It's a no-brainer that they're useful. But I have kind of switched. I am much more on the fence now because I'm not worried about what Bob Johnson and his deputies are doing with these things, frankly, or at Eric Winstrom or Sheriff Simmons. I trust our local law enforcement and I trust our guys. I'm concerned about abuses and what happens in the hands of a bad government and the idea of protecting people's liberty to move around. I think they're constitutional, but I'm concerned about the next steps and about preserving, you know, that kind of what Larry Downs Jr. calls that dangerous liberty. Like, I understand that if we don't have them, it will mean looking at some mom and telling her you couldn't find her kid because people complained. But we have constitutional limits on people's on your law enforcement all the time. So where are you at on this? I'm suddenly very much on the fence on these things.
Yeah, and it's understandable. You know, we grew up under the Big Brother, you know, reading 1984 and all that stuff.
Yeah.
About Big Brother, you know, basically controlling every aspect of your life. But I would say this, and there are abuses of it, 100%. I mean, you have them all over the country. So there are going to be abuses. But, like, let's just say that occurs at Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, and I find one of my deputies used it to stalk his girlfriend, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to fire him. And my deputies know this. If it's not used for just official purposes, we will take care of business at the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. But I would say this. It's not doing anything that deputies don't do on a daily basis. The Supreme Court says, while we're riding around in our car and I have an MCT in my car right now, I can run anybody's tag I want. I don't have to have probable cause, reasonable suspicion. I don't have to have any reason. I can be behind a car and just say, hey, put the plate in, and it comes back with the exact same information that the flock camera does. So it's being done anyways, just not on the same level, at the same speed and that kind of thing. So I would say this, as long as the people who abuse it are held accountable and fired when they do that, I think I'm okay with it, but I agree with you. If it gets out of hand, or they say, hey, let's implement this to where you'll get more information. Because right now, all it does is searches for tags that are entered. So it'll read 10,000 tags in a day.
Right.
But it's only going to ping and bring up the tags that we put in that we're looking for, i.e. kidnap people, stolen vehicle, things of that nature. So, yeah, is it running your tag? Yeah. If you're a law-abiding citizen, we're never going to know your tag was run. We're going to have no clue. You're going to have no clue. Nobody's going to have a clue because we're not looking at your information. We're only looking for the people that are breaking the law, or, you know, missing people, Alzheimer's patient, you know, stuff like that. That's all we're doing. But I understand also the other aspect, and the aspect you just said, you know, the government overreach and knowing where you're at all the time, and it is, you've got a lot of different things that do that, i.e. you buy a brand new car. Your car is reporting all the time.
Right.
It's got a little black box like an airplane does. Everything you do goes to back to the Chevy or Dodge or whatever, and they sell that to insurance companies. So, I mean, you're being watched whether you like it or not. The only way to fix it is to get you a car pre-1980 and take the tag off it. That's going to be the only way you're not going to get watched.
And I agree with all of that. And I would actually say kind of the pushback is, and maybe we need to start seriously revisiting all of that stuff, you know, because the idea that, like, for example, it's in a public area, I get that. But, you know, is it good to have not just, say, 200 Santa Rosa County Sheriff's deputies, but to have 10,000 of them because the, as you say, the scale at which it can surveil people is enormous. You know, it wouldn't it wouldn't have the benefit it had if it doesn't have that enormous scale advantage. But that enormous scale advantage is exactly what I'm concerned about. And you're right, like your phone tracking you, your car tracking you, people's Ring doorbells, all of that. And what I'm saying is, I'm not taking for granted that those things are good either. I'm beginning, you know, I'm questioning kind of all of that, because my concern is not, you know, what the Santa Rosa County Commission or what Bob Johnson, you know, Sheriff Bob Johnson is doing. I'm genuinely concerned, as many constitutional things is, we're not concerned what happens in a good government. We're concerned what happens in a bad government. And if Tallahassee shifts and we become more California or New York, or, you know, what would J.B. Pritzker like to do with this? You know, that's where my head is at, and worse people. And the way you prevent the abuses is by preventing the incremental slide towards empowering those abuses. And that's where, that's kind of where my concerns are.
Yeah. And I would say this, you know, is it worth it to have the flock cameras? And I would say, you know, ask the mother of, you know, the person we find that's been kidnapped or whatever. They'll say yes. So if you never need a flock camera ever in your life, which is possible, you never need a flock camera. Your car's never stolen. You don't have a member of your family kidnapped. You don't. Your father's got Alzheimer's and driven off, and you know, you never need a flock camera. You're probably going to be against them, and I can't. I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah.
But for the people who have needed them, and we've saved lives with them, recovered their stolen cars with them, and different things like that, you ask them, and I guarantee you, they'll say, "Oh, I don't have a problem with flock cameras." So you're going to have people on both sides of the fence.
And that's, by the way, I totally agree. That's the place to ask the question is, are you willing to endure more kidnapped kids, more stolen cars, more unsolved murders?
Right.
Because that is what will happen if you prohibit them. And where my thinking is on this is, we already accept there's all kinds of crimes that happen and don't get punished because we put limits on what government can do when we're doing things the government doesn't like. And I think that's the right, I think that's absolutely the right question. Are we willing as a society to endure more of those, you know, like looking a mom in the eye and say, "Hey, we couldn't find your kid because of this technology we're not allowed to use, but we also avoid this despotic government having this technology that we're not allowed to use." That's the trade-off, right?
Yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, what they say with the American judicial system, you know, it's geared to where 100 guilty people will go free before one innocent man goes to prison.
Right.
And it's you know, that's the kind of government we want. We don't want innocent people going to prison. And if it takes, you know, some scumbags getting off, they get off. I mean, we'll deal with them later.
Right.
But, yeah, so that's the government that we started with. And is it moving in a different direction? You know, some people say yes. I say it is a little bit, but I don't think it's out of control. And when it comes to flock cameras, I think the good outweighs the bad. But if they come out tomorrow and say no more flock cameras, we'll do business as we did back in, you know, the early 2000s before flock cameras. We'll keep going. We're going to still try to solve crimes as best we can and put people in jail as best we can. So it is what it is.
Well, I really appreciate you having a conversation with me about this, because I think people, you know, they want to hear this discussion, and it's important to have. And you know, I'm hearing encouraging things from you, which is exactly what I want from my sheriff. I want my sheriff thinking about my constitutional liberties and the purpose of our government and nature of liberty, in addition to whatever's legal. You know, the Supreme Court can say it's okay. That doesn't mean that it's a good thing. You know,
right.
So, but I know we agree about that. Sheriff Johnson, Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa Sheriff, thank you so much for the time, as always, for doing what you do to keep us safe, both from bad guys and also from, you know, even the government itself, which you represent. I appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Take care.